became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go.
Tell me everything.
Well, I'm cluttered. I've got a pile of empty boxes. I got a pile of full boxes, but I'm pretty satisfied with where I am.
Come on, I need more detail than that.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want to. Okay. Yeah. I have a lovely, huge office that also has room for a bit of a playroom, which is nice. I've got a big box there that my dad had made a billion years ago. So that's full of the toys. There's a futon in there for a parent or somebody to sit on if the kids need company. But it would also serve as a bit of a, you know, backup bed for anybody you want to sleep over. The only problem I have is my big old oak desk is going to be an adventure getting into the office.
Oh, why?
Because there's these weird set of angles where all the doors downstairs come together. So there's like a door under the stairs for storage. There's a door into my main part of the suite here. There's another door to go upstairs if I want to use it. And then the door into the office. So basically it's a little tiny cubbyhole with a door on each wall. Only each wall isn't much bigger than the door. So it's like, okay, this oak desk weighs like 400 pounds and it's got all these legs.
Can we just say badly designed?
the suite is, and they admit it, yeah. You know, but what do you do? It is what it is. So
where is it now? This desk.
Oh, the desk is out in the carport.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I didn't want to waste the guy's time. Like, they could have maybe tried to do that, but they were already rushed for the day. They had three jobs. They got all us out of the house as much as possible and unpacked into this house in 4 hours.
That's good.
Yeah, that was amazing. Because originally he said six with two guys. And then he took a look at my daughter's stuff and went, oh, there's a lot of stuff up there. And so he had already decided to bring an extra person. And nice guys. Oh, my goodness. There's so much to be said for having nice people moving you.
Were they wearing masks the entire time?
No. But we kept our distance. You know, they just their thing, and they didn't seem too concerned about my stuff. And I mean, it's all packaged and everything else. So it's not like we were in close proximity. And yeah.
Well, I'm just glad to hear they didn't wear masks hauling all this furniture around. I mean, that's just too crazy.
Oh, I
agree. At any rate, too much. So no events, nothing fell off the truck, nothing rolled into oblivion.
No, the only event is whether or not I'll ever have a desk.
Well, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I probably will. Or else I'll get my brother to come down and figure it out. We'll cut the legs off, get it in, and then he can figure out a way to put them back on.
This oak desk? It's an old oak desk. You've had it all your life. What?
Well, no, I acquired it a number of years ago before I moved to Courtney, but it's one of those ancient old oak desks where the typewriter used to actually fit in, like you'd lift this panel on the desk and a typewriter would come up. So, I mean, it's lovely, but it weighs a ton. And of course, now it just, I don't know how to fit it around all these corners, but I'll figure it out.
My favorite desk story is in Vancouver when there were antique shops, which is about 30 years ago. They slowly diminished. And it was in Gastown, and it was 1980s, and I needed a desk. I was at the CBC, and I went scouting. And of course, everything is as crazy priced as always. There's always a limit where everything is just too crazy priced, and it doesn't matter what year it is. And I couldn't find anything in my budget. They were all $400, $500 in 1984.
Wow.
So I went into this little shop, and lo and behold, there was something that was holding about 62 other boxes. And I looked down, and it was a desk. And it was brown, and it had two brass handles on either side to open it. And I saw the brass, and I thought, I bet that's quite a desk. So I said, well, how much for that desk? And they weren't selling it. It was like it was a piece of junk for them. And he said, well, you can take it for $50.
And
You
you
know
said,
what?
indeed I will.
It was Swedish birch,
Oh my
and it was
God.
a big black brown desk, and it was magnificent. I loved that desk so much, and it had beautiful tongue and groove drawers, and it had a Swedish inlay on each door of a tulip, which you couldn't see because of all the boxes until the boxes were let off. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I had the cash, and I said, "Thank you very much."
Give him the money quick.
I really did. And it was a beauty. I had it for 25 years, and then I was moving from Seattle to Canada, and I had to get rid of stuff, and I left it in Seattle, and I loved it so much, but it was a beauty. I do understand this heart pull of where you sit and work has meaning. It's a special place.
Well, I find I've got, over the years, I've acquired quite a few either antiques or nice pieces. And I know there's only a few that I'm emotionally invested in, which is interesting to me. So I'm not sure if I'm emotionally invested in this desk. I mean, in terms of, I would probably get my brother down here to see if we could indeed cut off the legs, get it in, and then have him reattach them. But, so I'm not concerned. The heartbreak, my client who just passed, her husband used, well, I think they both used to, but when she could, haunt the auction shops, the auctions. And he would still peer in the window if he was down at the art store or something picking up supplies. He'd still peer in the window. And he'd come home with stories, like once I was there, he'd come home with these stories of, oh my goodness, there was this whatever it was, and it's going to go for a song, or and indeed, he'd keep track, and sure enough, these beautiful pieces of furniture would go for literally $20, full silver services, like for your cutlery, $25, because nobody wants them anymore. China, nobody wants it anymore. And it's kind of a heartbreak because I look at my stuff and I know my kids aren't going to want it. It's kind of a shame to you wonder what'll happen to it.
Well, as you were talking about the move, I and the reason I asked, nothing happened that was something you would regret. I do have a story about moving a beautiful couch A Bauhaus designed couch, beautiful design, Georgia Interiors. It was my fifth estate couch. Whenever I got a big deal project, I would spend the money on a beautiful piece of furniture. So the fifth estate couch was beautiful until I decided to move. And the mover said, "Well, do you want insurance?" And I said, "No, let's not bother."
Oh
Saving a few pennies.
no.
It's the last thing to go on the truck. And no kidding, they dropped it, and there's a huge rip on the back side from one end to the other.
Oh no.
No kidding. And I often think about that. To save a few pennies sometimes is, you're just going to get slapped. You're just going to get slapped.
Well, it's funny you say that because when even when I rent these trucks, and this time I had a 25-foot box. That's how big the truck was. And we're driving what, 5 blocks? But they still say, "Do you want insurance for $15?" Now, what are the chances I'm going to have any sort of an accident driving from there to the house, back and forth between houses a few times, and down there? The chances are virtually impossible. But I get it every time because I'm so paranoid.
No, it's true.
I guess it's like having a reservation on the ferry. It may not be busy, but I'll get one anyways just to be safe.
Okay, now you're going too far.
Not these days. Jeez.
No, not these days. Well, I'm glad it was uneventful, and that's, well, 4 hours. Yeah, that's about right. 5 blocks, 4 hours.
Although, you know what frosts me? I mean, you've heard all the complaints about my suite. And so the manager, who's not the landlord, he's the manager, walked in and he's already told me a couple of times that I remind him of his mother. And I think with the age thing, he's Asian, he's highly respectful of me. And so he walks in and he just sort of goes like, "Oh, Agnes," he says, "it's just even, or it's way better than when you even moved in." And I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, I know that."
Really? Well, what
And
did you
so,
do?
well, no, because it was disgusting when I moved in. I had to clean. I was down on my hands and knees scrubbing floors before I'd even put things down. I mean, it was disgusting. So yeah, so I literally scrubbed it from top to bottom, and then of course we had the flood. But anyways, and just a sense of pride, I cleaned it out. And on the way out, even though, I sort of thought, geez, if I left it just the way it is, it would still be better than when I moved in. So that was fine, no problem at all. He did pause long enough in the room I was using as an office. The carpet was disgusting. The only thing I asked before I moved in was to have the carpets cleaned. And he said, yes, they've been cleaned. Or he told me, 2 days later. And then when I moved in, like the carpets were disgusting. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to vacuum first before I put any furniture in a room. And as I'm vacuuming, you know how the vacuum sort of clatters when you pick up debris? And it was doing that. And I thought, you cannot tell me these have been shampooed if I'm vacuuming up crap. But in the office, it had also been patched. So for whatever reason, there was like a 6-inch by 18-inch patch here and another patch over there. And then he's looking at this carpet, but he goes over to a little tiny 1-inch across circle that I guess one of the feet on this desk had made. And it had just a touch of rust because it's an old desk. And he's picking at it. And I thought, I dare you to say anything given the state of this carpet. And he just kept his mouth shut, which was no, he kept his mouth shut. Unfortunately, he did go up and he nitpicked my daughter's place. What
Really?
about this? What about that? And she's going, okay, it was a different management company when we moved in, and they took pictures. You should have the pictures. And well, I'll have to check. I'll have to check. I'll have to check this. I'll have to check that. And it was like, why didn't you just bring everything with you? You knew you were doing a walkthrough at noon. And, and I mean, if my son-in-law had been there, he just would have said, show me the pictures to prove it wasn't like this. And, the guy wouldn't have had a leg to stand on. But, you know, my daughter doesn't like confrontation. And so she ended up like scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing that place, even the oven. Oh my God. You know, how old would that oven have been? Like, God only knows. It was probably, you know, like 30 years old. And she scrubbed it to within an inch of its life, like the inside of the oven. And I'm going like, oh my God. You know, because it's, she doesn't want to have her deposit withheld or part of it withheld. And it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, but cleaning your stove is automatic. You're supposed to clean it.
Oh, no, I realize that. But yeah, there's also, and I mean, yes, I cleaned mine, even though I only used it three times. But there is a point in time where there is stains on the inside of an oven.
Sure, least, yeah.
Yeah, and she was even trying
to get...
And he
was nitpicking about that?
Oh,
was he just nitpicking about...
Everything. Everything.
God. And,
you know, so it was like, oh, Lord. But, you know, so anyways, she finally got out of there about 8 o'clock at night and just sort of thank God that's behind us.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It sounds horrible. And I was only there once.
Well, you weren't even at that place, I don't think.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, because it was last summer and I would have been across the street.
Well, wait a minute. I was there last summer in August.
Yeah, but I hadn't moved into the junkie place yet. I moved in September.
So in an 18-month period, you have moved four times?
Is that all?
Hey.
Yeah, well, and I'm not moving again now for a while. If I move again, everything's going in storage and I'm going to somewhere exotic.
Oh, there you go.
And I apologize about Wednesday. My new client is blind, and she's also 90.
Did you know that? Did you know
that she was blind?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. No. I mean, I've known this woman for years. Okay. Her son is a friend, so no, I knew everything going in. She wanted to go to the mall to one store that had these, you know, some stuff on sale, and she said, when we get to the mall, we go to customer service. They've got wheelchairs. Well, except in this time of COVID, some of them do and some of them don't. In this case, this mall didn't.
Right.
So this poor woman, you know, she walked and walked and, you know, we got to the store and then we looked at a few things and she said, oh, I'm just so tired. I need to sit down. So I took her to the front of the store and she sat on a ledge. I mean, there's nobody else in the store. And, you know, so finally she said, I'm getting dizzy. Let's go to the food fair and have a cup of tea. So I got her a cup of tea and a muffin, and she said, okay, would you go back and buy, you know, that t-shirt that I liked in black and in red? So I did that, but everything just took way longer because they didn't have any wheelchairs.
Oh,
and
God.
Of course, when I'm with her and she's blind, you know, she's on my arm. I can't really be saying, oh, I'm just going to zing around the corner and phone Sulaika and let her know I'm late. So I really apologize. It was just, I phoned the very second I got out the door.
Well, I did wonder. I thought, has Agnes had a brain transplant? Because that is not an Agnes thing to do.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I would have called if I could have.
Okay. Yeah. I'm stuck at the sentence, a t-shirt I liked. How does she know that she likes it if she's blind?
Because I'm so descriptive.
Oh, look at you. The encyclopediatic Agnes is at it.
Well, it was relatively simple. I mean, she wanted 3/4 sleeves. I explained that this had a boat neck and she liked that idea. And then I just gave her the colors selection and she holds it in her hands and she feels it. She's super independent. Like yeah. I'll go to take something or help her. And she goes, don't, I will ask if I need help. So
wow.
She's just lovely. She really, really is lovely. So yeah, but as I say, I just felt bad that I couldn't very well desert her and phone you. And
well, tell me, has she always been blind?
No, just in the last couple of years, it's progressed that she can't even see the chart now.
Really?
Yeah, which is, you know, I don't know, kind of sad.
I wonder what kind of life that is. I mean, you can listen to audiobooks, you can do a lot, but it's not...
Yeah, but, you know, like, and now that she's in a house with her son taking care of her, like, she can't move. Unless she moves into a care facility, she can't move because she's finally got the lay of the land now. She's been there for several, they've been there for several years. She knows, sort of how many steps to get to here. She knows, like one hand on the wall, she can get around the corner into the kitchen. I mean, I watched her fry a pork chop the other day, and that was a little scary, but she still manages. Yeah, it's, and it is extra work for my friend, but that's what he's willing to do for his mother, I guess, so.
Well, that's a good story. That is a really encouraging story. And hey, who wants to put their parent in a care facility these days?
Yeah, well, how can you, speaking of which?
Speaking of which, I did finally get a hold of
Okay, you're supposed to be fidgeting while I talk, not
oh,
while you
spring.
talk.
That's I don't have my sign. I usually carry my Molly sign. I
I
didn't see how simple I am. I am not a big brain over here.
Well,
I've
no,
got
but as
my
long
sign.
as I'm talking, you can fidget because it's on two separate tracks. But
Okay.
if you're talking, you can't fidget.
I'm putting my hands down now.
Okay.
Where was I? Who am I?
Sorry. You were about to talk about I had asked you about care facilities.
So I did get a hold of the liaison person for Vancouver Coastal Health, and she was very good. Think of dealing with someone like me 42 times every day. I'm a straight shooter. Let's get to it. I don't pussyfoot around. And so there I was. And I said, I just really want to understand the ruling here because what they've told me as, and you know the drill, one family member once per week for 1 hour only. If family member gets sick, too bad, no one else can replace them. Okay. But she went through diligently the bubble thing. The bubble is the my mother has a bubble and my sister has a bubble. So between the two of them, they have three bubbles. It's comical in a way. You can just see some smart ass, I can't think who that would be, who would write some about how. Anyway, I digress. And I said, but here's the thing. And this I got serious about. I said, I don't trust the management there. So when you tell me that they've had to had their program, their specific program, reviewed by licensing, I want to see what they've said to licensing because they have effectively lied to me five times in the last 18 months, and I have a record of all that those obfuscations. So she gave me the licensing person, tried to reach her. I just want to make sure because I'm not there to do it myself. I don't trust the management there. None of them have health backgrounds. They're all hotel management backgrounds. And I just want to be sure because it just doesn't make any sense. So I'm still on it.
Okay, I thought they had now increased all of that as of this week for care facilities. Like where,
Increased.
well, a family can come, there's no time limit.
Well, I haven't been told. So I don't know. I'll have to follow up on that. I will follow up on that on Tuesday. But yeah, there's so much misinformation out there now. And that's what happens when you try to do things in herd mentality movements. Some people get it, some people report it, some of it's there, some of it's not. It's just a big mess now. However, I want to see my mom, so I will get on it.
Yeah, I'll see if I can track it down too, because right now I'm sorry I only have one monitor, otherwise I'd do that as we speak.
Well, I can't possibly talk to you ever again, Agnes. I have no monitors.
I'm trying to think when I was unpacking, I was maybe it was yesterday or the day before, I was listening to Bonnie Henry
Yeah.
and I thought she was expanding the rules or like, relaxing the rules around care facilities where more family members could visit and there wouldn't be the time constraints. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, the last time I checked was Wednesday. It's Friday. So Wednesday from Tuesday because it's 3 o'clock. Anyway, that's good to know. Thank you. I will between the two of us, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, track it down. But yeah, so it's interesting just who knows what's going to happen with schools going back and everything else. So,
I have to talk about how COVIDiculous it is out there now. I had a situation on Saturday. I swear I this just adds to my frustration, let's put it that way. I'm walking from No Frills on Denman back to my apartment, and I see coming towards me on Denman Street, on the street, is the Robson Street bus, and it says, "Masks mandatory, Robson. Masks mandatory, Robson." So at the bus stop, there are three people waiting to get on. They're all young. One of them is not wearing a mask. So I wait until all three get on to see what's going to happen. All three get on, no questions, no asks, no nothing. And so I say to the bus driver, "Excuse me, but your sign says masks are mandatory. Are they?" He looks at me and he gives me a shrug like, "Who knows?" And I think that's just wrong. If you're going to impose restrictions, impose them. Don't let people get away with not doing it.
I did hear somebody from Transit interviewed as they were implementing that.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, and the question asked was, who's going to enforce this?
Yeah.
And they admitted that the drivers would try to educate the rider, but they were not going to police it. And understandably, really? I mean, drivers get beat up for far less than confrontation these days. You know, so it's a really tough one. And I feel for the drivers and in so many different areas. You know, somebody gets a job doing something and suddenly they're the COVID police, and that's not fair. That's not what they were hired for, and that's not what they signed on for. So it's a tough one, and especially a specialized job like a bus driver. You know, not everybody can.
Agnes, it's a tough one. There's a pandemic going on. If there's a pandemic going on and we're all supposed to be paying attention, then pay attention.
Oh, I agree. But if I was driving a bus.
No, I'm talking about the management. I'm talking about the Ministry of Transport. I'm talking about the people in charge. Don't impose things willy-nilly. It's not like being half pregnant. You either have a pandemic ruling or you don't. It makes everybody else crazy. Why am I doing my best if somebody else doesn't have to?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I was just relating, you know, that I feel for the bus drivers.
Really. Find somebody to police it. That's what we need to do. If we're going to flatten the curve, then let's flatten the nonsense too.
But we need to do that even in non-COVID times, and we're not winning that battle either.
Oh, God, tell me about that. Okay, a lighter topic. I have to inform you that tonight for dinner, yes, I don't have a daughter who's going to deliver me goodies.
Well, that may be done now because I don't have the kids anymore.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you all move?
Yeah, but my son-in-law took last week off. My daughter has this week off.
Yeah.
So they take care of their own children.
Do you mean that whole thing is over now?
Yeah, it is, because the little guy actually started daycare this week, too.
Wow.
And then the 10-year-old starts school next week.
Goodness. You will have your life back again?
Jeez, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
No, you love doing that. I know you do.
No, but I must admit, yeah. Like, and, you know, I've got people requesting work, and I'm going, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. And that's not even including someone like you that I do stuff for. I'm behind on your stuff. I'm behind on Mark's stuff. I got another person saying, "Can you create a website for me?" And I said, "Well, sooner or later."
Well, that is good news. I forgot about school. Not being
Well, hopefully it'll lucky you. And hopefully things will go well. You know, fortunately, the Southern Vancouver Island is the most paranoid place in the country. And
really?
So we're doing okay.
Who says?
I expanded it. I exaggerated a bit. We've got the best numbers. South Island has got the best numbers of anywhere in the province.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of it's probably because of the demographic. We've got a lot of older people here, so they're going to be super cautious, and people who are around them are going to be super cautious so they don't kill off the older generation.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. A good point.
Which is not to say we don't have our COVIDiots.
Yes, yes. Lots of that going on. Oh, okay, so my story about tonight for dinner. Once a year, I have a hot dog. Just one. It's a summer thing. Now, I have to explain, this is not your average hot dog. This is not recognizable as anything eatable by the time I'm done with it. It goes under the broiler. It is not just black, it is almost charred with an inch of its life, so you don't even know it is a hot dog. But I know it's a hot dog, so it will be loaded with mustard and onions and cheese and bacon.
Oh.
And I will enjoy it, but it will be my one and only hot dog of the year.
So, is it just like a regular hot dog? Because I sometimes splurge with like a big, juicy,
No,
like a
big.
smoky kind of thing with sauerkraut and
No,
onions and.
we don't do that. We just have your basic top dog. But there is something reminiscent about barbecues in the summer in the vast bald prairie. Don't ask me. I can't explain this one. But it will be done, and I have a gourmet hot dog bun I'm going to put it in. This
So
is my life.
was your dad that bad of a barbecuer that you need to char your wiener within an inch of its life?
Did you hear me say hot dog? We don't even know what the hell is in those things.
Well, when the children were young and I was teaching them that beef comes from cows and pork comes from pigs, I told them hot dogs were made of monster meat.
You bitch! How in the hell could you do that? What?
Because I was
I can't
all-knowing,
believe
all-seeing.
my ears. You can't do that to kids. You really can't.
Why?
That's a horrible story. I'm scared now.
Well, you can be scared just by going through the factory or reading the ingredient list. Like, what is smoke? There's smoke as an ingredient.
Okay, now what was the reaction of your darling children when you told them it was monster meat?
They were quite happy to not eat them. Mission accomplished.
Okay. You are an erstwhile mom. Okay, I get it.
So, what are we going to do about pop tonight? Are we going to sort of take a breather and then come back with a cocktail, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely need a drink.
Yes, I agree. I think we should just consider doing that because what was my other story? I was going to. Oh, yeah, I've got a story for pop. So, and it's something that might trigger some thoughts for you.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, isn't that a good lead-in? Now people are going to wonder and they're going to say, oh, well, we're going to have to quit this pop thing. Pissed on podcast, Friday nights.
Yeah. I want to bring you down to earth for a second here. This is the 14th time you've mentioned, oh, our listeners. Where the hell are they? I want to know who these people are. Sign up, let us know, call in, send a flare.
Give us 5 stars.
Don't.
5 stars help because then other people look and go, ooh, this thing's got 5 stars from
Do we need
870 people. They've got 5 stars. We have to listen in.
What? Do we have 5 stars?
No, but I want people, that's, we're talking to our listeners now.
Okay. Oh, so I'm giving it away that we don't. Oh, pardon me. You've got to edit it out.
No, that's okay. We're building. We'll get there. It just takes time.
Okay, I want to get into a real argument before we go.
Oh, okay.
Now, get this. This is the headline in the New York Times 2 days ago. Facebook has threatened to stop the Australians from sharing news, whatever that is, I'm not a Facebook person, as the law forces the Facebook people in Australia to pay media outlets. So, talk about a spoiled brat. It's like, I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to let you do anything else. What? These are big spoiled brats. So, what are
Okay,
we going to do?
who are the spoiled brats? Just to clarify that.
Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook.
Apparently, the news outlets
Yes.
are saying if our articles get shared on Facebook, we want to be paid for that.
Yeah. I
And
agree.
of course, Facebook is having a conniption. So I'm sure this is just all interrelated.
Yeah.
Because how many, I mean, and I'm guilty of it from time to time. I don't do a lot on Facebook, but I'll read an interesting article and I will share it.
Right.
And so, and I guess the hard part to monitor now is At the, on articles, there's quite often share buttons. So you can share to your Twitter feed, you can share to, and I'd be interested to know if everybody has to pay or just Facebook user, or like just Facebook. But, so that's trackable. They can see that an article has been shared on Facebook, 110 times.
Right.
If I just take the URL copy and then clip that into my Facebook page, is that as trackable, I wonder? So I'm just
Well,
wondering, like, how are the news outlets going to monitor it too? Unless they hire somebody to keep track.
it's a mess. It really is a mess, and it has been. Copyright has been a mess for 35 years, and it's just becoming a bigger monster to control. And I guess everybody's going to be a policeman now on the buses, at media outlet. Hey, I like the uniform. Maybe I should become a policewoman. Oh no, that would be a tragedy. I
Yeah,
don't
no,
go there.
they're actually charging police now when they kill someone.
Oh.
You'd have a rap list as a rap what sheet as long as your arm. You're a COVIDiot.
I have to say I was heartbroken on Wednesday. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? And I have to stop reading the New York Times. I don't read it anymore. I just scan the headlines, but I have to stop doing that. There's a picture of five cops with, there's been so many. The guy 5 months ago who had a hood over his head, he was sitting on the ground on the pavement naked, and they were putting this hood on, and he suffocated. And this photograph was, it could have been 19, it could have been lynchings in the 1920s. It was horrific. It could have been Sadek in Iran. It was horrible.
And
And
I've heard his brother comment a few times.
right.
And can you imagine having that on your conscience? Your brother is having a psychological meltdown, whatever it is, and you phone the police because you need help dealing with him, and he ends up dead. Like, yeah, it's, I don't know.
We're beyond something. We're beyond something reasonable for that to have happened.
Yeah, no,
It
it's
happens too much.
no, I hear you.
And I don't know how it will correct itself.
Well,
At
I don't
any
think it'll correct itself. That's the point. I think we, they especially, but well, no, we, all of us, all the countries need to look at policing and how it's done, what exactly their responsibilities are, and what rights they have.
Yeah, but here's the conundrum. Here's the paradox. People make the problem. I don't believe people make the solution that sticks. And that's timeless. That's since time immemorial. I don't know what
Well,
keeps us checked before, but there seemed to be something that kept things reasonable before. Maybe it was oppression and repression. Maybe it was, post-World War II, people were exhausted, so the 1950s were relatively calm. I don't know. I
I
don't
wonder
know.
too if, once again we circle round to social media when everybody can know anything about anywhere in the world
Yeah.
and everybody knows, oh, guess what? It's time to get ready for pop.
Look at you. Little angel sounds. I can't believe it.
But
That was a good thing you were saying. You were saying that.
it's time for pop.
It's time for a drink, actually.
Oh no, I raised my children to, and I said, if you aren't part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. And it in those days, it was to do with bullying at school.
Yeah.
That if they were witnessing bullying, if they were did not feel comfortable or competent to step in themselves, they had to go get an adult to help. But and
Right.
I said, if you are not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. And I think we need to train a whole generation to believe that.
Or something.
Okay, let's go get a drink. I'll probably take about 15 minutes. Because I'll put the dog out for a pee, I'll feed her, and meet you back here with a glass of wine.
Okay, I have to interpose here, interject, and just say, just so that you know, I am so organized that my drink is in the freezer right now, so I'm ready in 3 minutes.
Well, I can be ready in 3 minutes too, but I have a dog.
Oh, that's your excuse. Okay.
Well, okay. You haven't heard her whimpering and she actually woofed 3 times.
I did not. I didn't.
Oh. All right. Well, there you go.
I'll let you call me back at 5.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.